All right, we're going to be going over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to go through the whole entire book here tonight. I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 1, we're going to be reading in verse 18, but before we get there, I would really like you to do something, okay? I would like you to turn to your neighbor, whether it's right next to you or right behind you or right in front of you, and I want you to say to them, "Thank you for caring about me." That was pretty easy, wasn't it? You know, I don't know if you noticed, but every time that I enter doors of a building that houses a church, I'm very encouraged. Very encouraged with the fact that we have many people that are willing to be unashamed of Christ. We have people that are willing to stand and say in verse 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Are you willing to stand for that? You know, it's important, and a lot of times, sometimes we're frustrated because there's like, well, what's the point of going on a Sunday night? Or what's the point of going on even a Wednesday or even a Sunday morning? Sometimes we wake up and we just want to crawl back over and go to sleep, don't we? As a pastor, I want to do that sometimes. Saturday night, sometimes it just doesn't have enough hours for sleep. But yeah, I know that as soon as I enter those doors, there's going to be people that are being encouraged by someone else standing alongside of them. And how I will be encouraged to be able to look out at your faces and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You know, I love America for the fact that we're free to come and to worship God in a building like this. I love the fact that we can come and we can pray. I love the fact that we don't have people coming to our doors and ripping our children from us. I'm glad for freedom. Sometimes we take that freedom so loosely. Amen. Sometimes we take the lives that have been sacrificed for our freedom so loosely. I'm not just saying those that went and fought in wars, but those who bled and died just to take this right here and hand it off to the next generation. I thank God for that. And it's only by God that we can do this, that we can get up every morning and say, "I have hope that I can pass on to the next generation." I thank God for being able to have, I don't know how many teens were in there this morning, but just teens to be able to hand something off to. And Lord willing, they will take that same pledge. It can be pretty easy when you're inside a home and your parents tell you you have to get up and go to church. But when you move out of the house and you're supposed to take that decision and make it yourself, thankful for people who will take that, all because of what God has done. But as we look at that, in those two verses, and many say that this is the theme of Romans, and Romans is all about the gospel inside and out. and just the beginnings of the gospel, how it comes into our lives and how it makes effect and what we're supposed to do with it, and how Paul comes in. He wants the Roman Christians to partner up with him and taking the gospel to other places. He's going to come and preach. He's going to come and minister to be able to give gifts here. And he says here that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But he goes into these next few verses, and I think it's interesting how he's saying, does Jesus care? Because as you go through these next verses, and as you look at what's going on in America today, some people will say this. And you can nod your heads if you've ever heard this. How could a loving God allow? And you could fill in the blank. I could fill in all kinds of blanks here. How could a loving God allow for my body to ache? Okay, you say, well, you're 25. How could your body be aching? I was taking the Riley's car seat out of my parents' van and trying to switch it over. And as I stretched this morning, I stretched a little bit too far and threw my arm, my shoulder out this morning. I'm like, this isn't supposed to be happening at 25. What is going on here? All right, but you can go as simple as that, but then you can go as big as, well, how could a loving God allow for, what's his face, Bruce Jenner to do what he's doing? How could a loving God allow for cancer? How could a loving God allow for, and this has affected our family, for someone to text and drive and run into a child and kill it? How could a loving God allow for ISIS to run across so freely? And believe me, it seems like they're just running free. To go and it gets tragic, believe me. I think we sit too comfortably in America. We pick and choose whether we're going to deny Christ. And yet our fellow Christians are standing over there getting their children taken away from them and killed right before their eyes because they chose Christ. That really hits home for me because I have a 2.5-year-old. What would I say? What would utter from my mouth at that point? Would I deny Christ? Or would I say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I just love reading through that. I read it over and over and over again. It's so empowering. But you know, as we face this, and sometimes we as Christians will ask ourselves, how could a loving God allow for this and that? I would present this question, and this is the title of the sermon, how could a created people? And then fill in the blank. We'll get into this a little bit more as we go along, but how could a created people do what they do? How could a created people stand there and say, God, you made a mistake with my gender, and therefore I'm going to change it? God, you made a mistake with how I live my life. You know, there's such a crazy things I heard on the radio the other day that they made up this new title. It was transableism, and it was how people are now saying that even though they were born with a healthy body, they were actually supposed to be handicapped, so they're wanting to go in and be dismembered, like take a member off or somehow handicapped. Can you believe that? So God made a mistake to make you a healthy being. God made you a mistake by putting you in the circumstances that you're being put in. So how can a created people question God? And let's get into this right here, verse 18. And it says here, and this is the first point, man is without excuse. Man is without excuse. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And ungodliness is a lack of proper respect for God. It's an ill view of God. So it's for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. This is referring to a failure to adhere to moral principles, commands, or laws. Unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. They hold the truth and unrighteousness. You want to know why the world is where it is? You want to know why it seems like our world, our America, is becoming more and more immoral? They just don't have a standard. Want to know why? It's at the end of that verse. It says, who hold men, who hold the truth and unrighteousness. You know what we try to do? We try to, as man, we try to take truth, what's been given of God, and we try to suppress that and change it. Just like Adam and Eve in the very beginning, we should never think for one second that we would do any better than Adam or Eve. I always thought as a child, you know, they bring up Adam and Eve, the story, and I say, well, man, I would never eat of that fruit. Come on. Are you serious? Wait, you have the whole other garden here. Or you know, as a teenager, well, I'd pass that up. But you know, I found out that I'm a sinful person who's been saved by grace, but yet I know that at that point I would have made the same decision. Why? Because I get consumed with self. At that point, I deny that God is truly God. They try to suppress truth, and that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the very beginning, where they said, well, I could become just like God. Or I could, you know, it doesn't matter what He said, this commandment that He's given, it doesn't matter. I can just overpass this. Maybe we could justify this somehow. Maybe we've been walking along together with Him for so long, maybe He'll just forgive us for it. But you know, this is a command that He had given, and we cannot take that truth and suppress it and make it something else. It's the truth. That's exactly what mankind tries to do. They say there is no absolutes. There is no morality. Okay? They say, okay, well, you know, Keely and I was just watching a movie, and I'm not gonna tell you what it was, but it was supposed to be some sort of a fairy tale. And they presented that it was so good up until a certain point. And then they decided to change the whole entire story, and it actually went immoral. And this was supposed to be something that was okay for children. And they presented this philosophy is whatever I think is okay. Let's do it. Whatever I present as something as good or something as right, I'll just do it. It doesn't matter that there's a higher code, that there's a word of God that's been given. It doesn't matter. I'll just make up my own law. And this was what was presented here. Men try to suppress truth, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. This is something that we need to get to. Man is without excuse. Have you ever been asked this? In fact, in our Sunday nights, we've been going through evangelism, just a series on evangelism. And we've been talking about objections to the gospel. And one of the objections to it is, well, how could someone who's never heard of the gospel get saved? So how could a loving God send someone who's never heard this to hell? Can you answer that question? It's a difficult question. Because if man reasoned through that, he'd be like, oh, man, I don't know. How could you, God, send someone who's never heard the gospel, never heard of Jesus Christ? Guess what? Here's the answer. I'm gonna give it to you. All right? You don't have to search it out. I'm going to give it to you. It says here in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's manifest in mankind. For God has showed it unto them. How did He show it? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's you and me, everything that is around us, it's understood even his eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse. See here, man is without excuse in this passage. And the fact that we are able to look around us and look at creation and see God's power. We're able to look around us and see his magnitude and even go down to the depths. If we think about it long enough, we think, well, why did God create the world? And why did God place us in it, who has the ability to reason, ability to have a relationship? Well, he created it for his glory, but also in that, and this also gives him glory, that we might have a relationship with him. To see him in a proper view. To see him as God. All we've got to do is look around us and see. You see these children that are growing. Isn't that amazing how a child can grow into an adult? Well, Mrs. Liebeder, and I'm sorry, I can't call you by your first name. I just can't. She says, you're still my kid, okay? I grew up in this church. I was a baby. My first potluck, I stuck my hands in some beans and burnt them so bad I had to go to the emergency room. Okay? I was a baby. And I went through the nursery and the tiny tots. This is where Mrs. Lieber was. And she saw me grow into where I am right now. I haven't grown since tiny tot, but it's because I just didn't get my Wheaties, okay? All right? And I'm still struggling over that, all right? Just don't make fun of me. But anyway, you see as a person grows, isn't that just amazing? How a body grows. How, without even thinking, we're making breaths. How somehow we have these senses where we can speak and smell, see, touch. And how that just sends something to our brain. Isn't that just amazing? What does that speak to you? Does that speak to you that all of a sudden there was a big bang and then somehow we came up with monkeys and then it turned into mankind? Sometimes we wonder if some kids come from monkeys. But that does not speak anything. It's not even reasonable. It's not reasonable. It's not truth. That's the most important thing, because what does God's word says? There was intelligent design. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what God said. That's what we believe. And as we look out at creation, we can see his eternal power and Godhead and how he wants that relationship with us. He wants it. So man is without excuse. So if somebody asks you, well, what about those people that have never heard? Guess what? Romans chapter 1. Just go to that passage. And just tell them. Man's without excuse. Look at the creation. He speaks through that. All right, going on in verse 21. Here is the second point. First of all, man is without excuse. Second point, man tries to decide what is truth. This is where we're going down a bad path, all right? Man is without excuse. He can see God. He knows that God is all-powerful, that he created the world. But then all of a sudden, man gets it in his mind, and this is exactly what Adam and Eve did. This is exactly what we do every day when we deny Christ, just like it was said in Pastor's sermon here today. Man tries to decide what is truth. Let me ask you this. Do we decide what is truth? No. God does. God's placed it. We don't decide, but this is exactly what they're trying to do. It says in verse 21 through 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Here we have an ill view of God. They know who he is, but they don't glorify him as God. Neither were thankful. Do you know that an ill view of God is somehow connected with not being grateful for what God has given us? For to be able to step back and thank God for every breath that he gives us, that we can be able to get up and walk, that we can go around and speak, that we can even have the opportunity to give the gospel to someone else. That we have the opportunity to even receive the gospel as we were enemies of God. Are we thankful for that? But the moment that we stop thanking God, we begin to have an ill view of God. Because we don't see Him. We don't glorify Him as God. It says there, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is getting pretty depressing as they try to decide their own truth. Vain in their imaginations. Their imaginations was futile, empty, incapable of producing results. And it goes on, it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Let me ask this question. Did anybody watch the debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham? Okay. What did Bill Nye keep saying throughout the whole entire time? Basically, a stint of, we were fools. We had no, we could not, as creationists, give anything towards science. And then, what was he always presenting? Well, evolutionists has to be the smartest people because they actually know what's going on. We're the wise people. You guys are fools because you believe in a God. You believe in a God who told Noah to build this big old ark. And how could that even be? You know, that's exactly what's going on here. Bill Nye, the science guy here, is professing himself to be wise and yet is fool because he does not see God for who He is. That's exactly what is going on in America today. That's what's going on in our neighborhoods. That's what's going on in our high schools. God didn't create the world. Look around you. Yeah, He did. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, it says there, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You know, this is what they started doing. They started not glorifying God. They weren't thankful of what He had done. And they got to the point where they decided that, oh, I'm going to make an image of something. Even the Israelites did it as Moses went to the mount and was getting the Ten Commandments, and they said, well, you know what, Aaron, let's decide to do something else here. Let's collect all the gold, and let's make a calf here, and let's start worshiping this. It's exactly what they did. He said, well, you know what, Pastor, I am not going to take all my gold. First of all, I probably don't have any gold, because I can't afford it. And I'm not going to make a calf out in my garage and start bowing down to it. Does anybody want to do that tonight? I didn't figure so. I didn't figure we had enough gold to do that, all right? All right, but despite that, you know what we try to do? There's points in our lives where we, as in the race talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, put these sins in our lives that becomes more important than God. That weigh us down, that hold us back. These sins that we say, my sin is numero uno. Don't mess with it, God. You can have all of me except for this one thing. Or we even get to the point where we go over those weights, and the weights are a good thing, right? But when the good thing becomes the main thing and becomes a bad thing, when it becomes our idol, when we look to that, when we're focused on that more so than God Himself, you say, well, how can that happen? Well, when you're more worried about taking your cell phone to the bathroom or to the living room or to the kitchen and where's my cell phone rather than worried about whether you had your devotions that morning. That's when my cell phone becomes an idol. That's when I get so focused on and watching a TV show that I have to start missing things at church. Start missing out on things that is to help the church body grow and to move forward. And to get out that gospel and to state to this community that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I'm going to skip that in order to make sure that I keep up on my TV show. because my DVR is not working tonight. How many things can we put before God as an idol because we have an ill view of God? This is something serious that churches need to get down today. I need to get down. An ill view of God is speaking shame to the gospel. It's not being able to stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When I have idols, it's saying that I'd rather have what I want rather than what God wants. We go into verse 25 here. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. I've already spoken to that extent. We're starting to change of what God has presented into a lie. We'll start to make cuts on what morality is, on what marriage is, what God has set as standards. We'll start to cut that out and cut and paste. You know, we would never, never take the Bible and actually take scissors to it. But yet, sometimes we do that with our lives. Take scissors and cut things out and say, well, I just don't agree with that at this moment. It doesn't work out for me right now. I'm just going to put that to the side. I'll accept the rest, but I'll put the rest to the side. They're changing the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They decided the Creator wasn't as important as the created. Going on to verse 28. And these first verses were speaking less of God, more of self. These other verses is what it's going to grow to. And the fact of they don't want anything of God and all of self. In verse 28 it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. Notice the first part of that verse. And even as they did not like to retain God. You notice that word like kind of changes things around in there to where it's not that they didn't retain God. And the fact that they said there is no God. They just didn't want to believe that they know there's a God because of creation. But they didn't want that accountability. They didn't want the Word of God to be presented to them. So they said, well, I don't like to retain God in my knowledge. I don't like to hold Him there and say that there is a God. And you go down into verse 32, it says there, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know the judgment of God. They know what's being presented. But yet, they know that because of the judgment that they're worthy of death, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, that first part. They know that. They not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you understand that verse and the fact of, you know how your child would come in, and right now, my child is dealing with this. She likes to go outside, okay? And we live on a country road, but we all know that in the country, nobody likes to follow any kind of speed limit, all right? They just go as fast as they want, and that's exactly what they do along that road. So it's a little bit scary to just let her go out there and not know what's going on. All right. So, but she has found out how to open up the door. In fact, we even tried to lock it, and she knew how to unlock it. All right. She's smart. She must get that from her mother. Okay. But she's gone out there, and there are some points that I will stand there and I say, Riley, do not go outside. She knows exactly what I am saying. Do not go outside. She will look at me. Sometimes she'll smile. turn around and go straight outside. You say, well, she's too cute to do that. Yeah. That's exactly what she does. How many have had kids like that? Okay. All right. Dad, put your hand down. All right. That's exactly what she does. But you know, that's exactly what we do to God. When he says, this is what I've given to you. And we look at him, sometimes we give him a little smirk like, oh, I wonder what you'll do, God. I wonder if you'll actually judge me. I wonder if there is some sort of a punishment, and go out and do the exact opposite of what he's told us to do. And take pleasure in it. Take pleasure in it. That's exactly what's going on here. And you know what? Man is without excuse. Man has decided what is truth. And here's the last point. God gave them up. God gave them up. He gave them up to what? Verse 24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. He gave them up. You know, you notice he's still in control here? He's the one that gave them up. So don't ever take away from God's sovereignty here. God is always in control. God gave them up to their uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts. This is what they desired. This is immoral. This is impure. This is what they wanted. But he gave them up. And guess what it says there? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You notice in their venture to dishonor God, because they thought that their themselves was above God, you know, he actually gave them up to dishonor their own bodies. So they thought that they were dishonoring God, but they ended up dishonoring themselves by their own desires. This is what he gave them up to. Verse 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections. This is disgraceful or shameful feelings. And it goes on, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. If anybody ever states to you that God accepts homosexuality, please take them to this verse. This is dealing with homosexuality. When women decide to go with women. When men decide to be attracted to the... And let's add in transgender. Let's add in all the whole mess of things that is not God's ordained gift that he's given. This is what he gave them up to. To dishonor themselves. Again, these are disgraceful. It is not something to be proud of. Not to run around in the streets and hold up a sign. This is disgraceful.
Amen.
True. And America accepts this. So where do you think America is in God's eyes? Has he given up America to their own desires, their vile affections? Going on, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is worthless, despicable mind, to those which are not convenient, it's not proper, it's not right. And it goes on into this list of things here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, and basically this list could could cover everything because it speaks of unrighteousness in the beginning of this. But being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, this is premarital immorality. It goes on to wickedness, this is depravity, perverting moral principles for an evil end. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly for the sake of time. Covetousness, desiring, this is greed, excessive desiring for acquiring more. This isn't just, oh, well, I just want to have something. This is excessive. This is obsessed. This is greedy. Giving over to covetousness, maliciousness. This is conscious and intentional wickedness. You know, this is a thing that this bothers me. In the riots that we've had throughout America, how they will justify those things to go against other human beings, to rob places because of what policemen have done. They know that they're wrong. This is intentional. This is wickedness that is happening in America today, and this is what he's given them over to. Full of envy. This is jealous of the possessions of others, whether it be actual possessions or attributes that I want from another. And to drive wedges between relationships. Going on to murder. And I would include euthanasia and abortion in this. I don't know how someone could hear a baby's heartbeat and then be willing to take a baby's life. When we went in to hear Riley's heartbeat, when doing the ultrasound and all that, I was so pumped. I was so excited. There's life. That starts at conception. That's life that God is forming in the womb. Why would you let that go? It's unlawful. According to God, God has created that human being. And excuse me for saying this. Actually, no, don't excuse me. It is not your choice. You made the choice to have the relations. Thank you. Did the baby have that choice? This is just what is going on in America today. Going on into debate. This is constant bitter disagreement. They just don't want to come together. Constant argument. Deceit. Crafty. Treacherous. It describes all of our politicians in America, it seems like. And if our leadership is that away, what does that speak for the rest of America? Malignity. Feels the need to see others suffer. Whisperers, gossiping behind each other's backs. They say this is one of the major issues in churches. Being able to take away from somebody's reputation. Backbiters, going along the same line, attacks the reputation of another. Haters of God. Despising him, despiteful, characterized by offensive, disrespectful acts, proud, unwarranted importance of self, boasters, self-exalted, inventors of evil things. I want you to notice this next one. You say all these and then all of a sudden disobedient to parents? Whoa. Disobedient to parents. This is the authority that's been placed by God. And so our disobedience to our parents is actually our disobedience to God. But he places it in the same list here. Going on in verse 31, without understanding. There's this lacking the ability to understand importance, to understand what is priorities. I'd rather put a post on Facebook than to actually have a face-to-face conversation with someone and to give them the gospel. To help save a life, to plant that seed. There's all kinds of things that you could put in there for application. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. This is heartless, lacking affection for others, especially family members. Implacable, unable to be appeased, irreconcilable. Have you ever been around somebody like that? You just can't please them. They're just always going to have a problem with it. Always going to have a problem with something. Unmerciful, no compassion. And if we as Christians ever have this, what did Christ do to us? We're enemies to Him, and yet He sacrificed His life, had mercy upon us. Again, this list covers just about everything. And again, in verse 32, it says that they know the judgment, they know who God is, but yet they take pleasure in it. So again, I'd like to propose to you this question. A lot of people, and even Christians, will come to this point and say, well, how could a loving God fill in the blank? But I'd like to switch that around and say, how could a created people defy God, be haters of God, go against His standard, be disobedient to the authority that He's been given? Be unmerciful. And yet He's created this. He's created us. He has formed us in the womb. He's given us this life. He's given the breath. He's given the opportunity to even have salvation. So how could a created people step back and deny Him? Deny Christ? This is the question that we got to face. This is the question that we come back and we stay in verse 16 and 17. Can we say this every day? Can we say this after every decision that we make? Or is it more like the other list? Can we say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Don't you think that's important to get it out? To be evangelistic? How many think that all of Taylorville has been reached with the gospel? How many think that all of Taylorville is within a church building every single Sunday morning? So what does that mean? We got a job to do, right? Well, you got a job to do in Taylorville. I got a job to do. I got to go back. On Tuesday, our missions team's coming down and picking us up, and we're going down to Texas for a missions trip. And guess what? There's people down there that need the Lord. There's people on the way down there that need the Lord. There's people all across America that need the Lord, and we'd rather see them in this part of verse 16 and 17 rather than taking pleasure in the list of things that God would give them up to as they don't see Him and glorify Him for who He is. So let's take this job. Let's take it seriously. And say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this great, great day, great opportunity to come together as people that, Lord, hopefully will say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You offered Your Son to die for us, even though we were enemies to You. I just love You because You first love me. Lord, we just thank you for this hope that we've been given. Lord, help us to stand back and not ask, how could a loving God, but let's ask, how could a created people, and start living for you. Thank you for all you've done and what you will do. In your name.